Be in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, to the end of the chapter. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution of those that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, and that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that as a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified that the Spirit, that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let us pray together, shall we? Loving Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to read the Word of God together, and that we might learn of these things, that your Holy Spirit might teach us and minister to us and apply these things to our own lives, that we might see also the hand of God to moving, not only in the day of which we are reading, but God may also move upon our own hearts as he will, that we may be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we find that in this passage, Christians receive the name of Christian. And we find that this new name comes to them at Antioch. And so as we read through this passage, we find that the church at Antioch and the new name Christian seems to come together upon, or after, I should say, the time period of the persecutions which resulted because of Stephen. And so let's begin with verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. In placement of these various cities, we find Jerusalem is at pretty much the center of the land of Israel that we know today. Damascus follows secondly, and then Antioch above that. And if you find Antioch on your map, on your Bible, and go offshore into the Mediterranean, you'll see the city of Cyprus, or the island of Cyprus, I should say. So right across from Cyprus, you'll find Antioch right there on your Bible map. And as far as population was concerned, Antioch was similar to the city of Rome in population. It was the capital of Syria, and also Alexandria, Egypt. as Alexandria, Egypt was also a major shipping port, and of course northern Africa in Alexandria was where the great library of Alexandria was, and so it was a great learning center. So we have this various areas of population: Alexandria, Antioch, Rome, and it was believed that there could have been as many as a million people or more in Antioch. So it was a big city, a capital city, and so there were many people there, as one might understand, because of the commerce of the day and the time. And considering the Mediterranean being a hub of activity throughout the Roman Empire, we know that these cities became places of great marketing and commerce and et cetera, and people coming and going constantly in these cities. So here we find that this period of time that we've been talking in between, we have, of course, saw the conversion of Paul, and we also noticed after the conversion of Paul, Paul goes to Tarshish, and Tarshish is mentioned in this same passage as well, by the way. And the intervening time, Peter has his vision, Cornelius has his vision. They come together, and we find that the message begins to go out unto the Gentile people. Then we find also that Peter goes to Jerusalem and vindicates himself based upon the word of God coming to him, that he might go unto the Gentiles. And now the narrative picks it up again. And as the narrative picks it up this time, we find that the persecution, which perhaps subsided a little, has now resumed to some extent. And so in verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution, that is, after the persecution of Stephen, so they were dispersed, many of them were dispersed. And if you go back in the reading, you'll find that the disciples were not part of that. The apostles did not disperse, but continued in preaching and proclaiming the gospel. But we find that many of them were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only, as was the mandate to go unto the Jew first. We find that they continued to preach unto the Jews. Gradually we find that the apostles began to preach unto others. Philip, of course, to the Ethiopian eunuch. Peter unto Cornelius, the house of Cornelius. And so the gospel began to slowly seep out to the Gentile people. And even Peter making vindication of his preaching unto the house of Cornelius, of course, is resolved to take the message unto the Gentile people as well. And of course, there would be many Gentiles in Antioch, even though that probably when they went to Antioch, when these began to travel after the persecution of Stephen, they began to spread abroad, they began probably to go unto the synagogues more than anywhere else, and maybe various small groups of people that were in house churches and whatnot. Yet we find that in Antioch, with a great multitude of people being there, there was a great opportunity to preach Christ unto Hellenistic people, Jews that were somehow intermarried with Greek, and the Greco-Roman people that would be there as well. And so we find that the church began to develop, to expand, to go into these other areas. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And so the Grecians here probably indicates that they were Hellenists, and so they could have been a mixture of Jews and Greeks, or it could have been Romans and so forth. So there was this preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in other words, the gospel began to go forth and to preach. They began to preach more and more unto the multitudes of people that they came in contact with. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I think the key area that we see going on here is that as the gospel began to be spread unto more and more people, we find that more and more people began to respond to the gospel of Christ. I understand that today, I read something recently online that Cuba, being recently opened up, has kind of like a revival going on of Christians who were there that did not have Bibles, and they're just overwhelmed now with the opportunity to get Bibles for themselves. And so, Cuba's an island, and maybe this is an opportunity that the Lord will use to bring the gospel of Christ unto the Cuban people. And with the opening up of rapport between the United States and Cuba, this may be a good thing as far as spreading the gospel is concerned. A lot of people don't like the idea of opening these boundaries to Cuba, but if people can be supplied Bibles, and Christians who are there who have not had the opportunity to have the Word of God now have the Word of God and can read it for themselves and study the Word of God, perhaps the Lord will do some good things there at this time. We'll just have to wait and see. But sometimes we find opportunity like this that God will open up an area. And as God opens up an area to do things such as the ministry of the Word and the preaching of Christ and the opportunity to have Christian literature and to be exposed more to the Word of God, we find that many believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I think something we do have to keep in mind is that as the early church began to spread the gospel through the preaching of Christ, they still had no other printed gospel other than that which they were preaching. Except, of course, perhaps the Old Testament law and the prophets, which the synagogues, of course, would have. But then everything else would have been transmitted by verbal communication. That is, the apostles themselves giving the eyewitness account of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his death, burial, and resurrection, of their particular fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, of what happened in Jerusalem, of what happened upon those occasions when the Lord met with the disciples during that 40-day period before his ascension, what has happened on the day of Pentecost, the kinds of things that were communicated through the preaching of Christ, and the experiences, or as we know it now, the acts of the apostles as they began to develop. These were the things probably that they were communicating. They were communicating Christ and what had happened as Christ had died for their sins. And now this message was beginning to take hold. Of course, the other factor that was in play here was God the Holy Spirit was confirming these things upon the hearts of those who were hearing. This was not just academic reporting something that they had seen and they had heard, not like a news account, although much of it perhaps came across very much like, do you know what happened at Jerusalem? And what about, have you heard about the great coming of the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost? Have you heard about these things? But remember, God the Holy Spirit accompanied His word in the mouth of these apostles. And I think that sometimes that gets a little bit sidetracked. We get a little bit sidetracked and we forget that. We should also remember this, that when we are speaking to people, if we have been prepared to speak to someone, that means that God the Holy Spirit also is working in that situation. So by way of personal application, let us not forget that as we have opportunity to speak and God prepares us to speak, the other part which is working for us is not just our witness, but it is the Holy Spirit is working. You may feel inadequate to speak to somebody in their need. Maybe you know someone that has a great need, and you say, well, I don't know how to speak to this person. I don't know what I can say to this person. But somehow God the Holy Spirit has led you to this person. Well, tell them what you can. Explain to them what you know. Give to them what God has laid upon your heart. And the other part of it is the Holy Spirit will bring that through you to the individual. It isn't just taking the Bible and saying, well, this is what the Bible has to say in this area. It may be more important for you to just be yourself, explain in your own way what God has confirmed upon your heart, and allow the Holy Spirit to confirm something to them. We must allow God the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work in us. We don't have to have a pat answer for everything. But God can do a work in us and through us. And this has to be what was going on. God was using the apostles. As they began to travel from Jerusalem unto Judea and Samaria and to move forward, we find that the apostles, no doubt Paul was in Tarsus. The other apostles were beginning to spread out further, as we see here, as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch. And so they were going further north. And we find that the preaching of the word to none but the Jews only. And so as they concentrated in this area of the Jews, but yet there were more people than just the Jewish people in that quarter. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The other part there is then that as we are prepared to preach or to give the word out, we find that people will believe. Now, belief is one of those things that must be in some way confirmed. And the confirmation of it is, do they believe in the message to which one is giving? Such as the disciples giving out the message of Christ. Do they believe that Christ died and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures? Do they believe that he is the Son of God? Well, that is the message that was given. And so we find that as they preached that message, many did believe. In verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Well, now word gets back to Jerusalem, and we find that it begins to, they think there's some need to send out one of the men from Jerusalem, whom they would have to go and to check upon these things and to see if everything is being done decently and in order. And so they send out Barnabas to do that. And they send him to go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas was also convinced that the grace of God was at work. I think it's important that we realize that when the grace of God is at work, all those who are in Christ will also agree the grace of God is at work. There may be some concerns between churches and denominations and various people who are of different churches. But if we see the grace of God at work, then we can have that will be confirmed upon those who are maybe of a different church. Even today, you say, well, what about the church down the street? Is God doing something there? And perhaps you're able to go there once in a while and you see the grace of God at work, and you can say, well, God is at work here. God must be doing something in this area. You can go to another church and you see it seems to be completely dead. They aren't preaching Christ, and all they're having is a little bake sale outside, and nothing is going on. And you might say, well, I guess nothing's going on here for Christ. And so you can discern the difference. Barnabas discerned the difference between what was real and what was false. And we can do the same thing. This is not to say that we're to go about downing other people or go about condemning others. It's to say this, that you can know when the grace of God is at work, if the grace of God is at work in your life. If you are truly born again of God and you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you know the message of Christ, then you can know when the grace of God is at work. You don't need somebody else to tell you when the grace of God is at work. God can tell you that. How? Because the Holy Spirit is in it. And that's what Barnabas saw. He saw the Holy Spirit at work. He said the grace of God is at work here in this place. Many are believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he exhorted them that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Now here is something else that we need to do for one another. We need to exhort one another in faith. Exhortation is part of something that each of us can do for the other person in Christ. We can exhort one another in love. Now, that doesn't mean to downgrade somebody or to say, oh, you're such a bad sinner, or to say to them, well, you better do this or you better do that because you're not doing this or you're not doing that. That isn't what it means. It means that in Christ, we need to exhort one another in Christ. Do you love the Lord? Then let's pray together. Do you love the Lord? Let us sing together. Do you love the Lord? Let us get together in fellowship. Do you love the Lord? Let us preach Christ together. The kind of exhortation we need as believers most of the time is that kind of fellowship that will encourage us. The encouragement is necessary for believers. And so that's like a ministry in itself. It's like a shot in the arm. You know, it's like giving one a good shot of adrenaline so they might be able to do better in their walk of faith. Just to encourage someone and to exhort someone, cleave unto the Lord. Do that which is good. Believe and have faith in Christ. For he, this says in verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. We all want to see results. We all want to see people come to faith in Christ. And of course, as we look at the book of Acts, there is a lot of firsts. A lot of first things are happening. God is saving people. God is moving out into new areas. God is beginning to expand the church. The church is beginning to grow and to develop and to come out of its infancy into something that is going to be more organized a little bit later. You might say, well, what's going on today? What about our churches? Are our churches also growing? And are many coming to Christ? Well, I think sometimes we need to look around and realize that as we sow the seed and water the seed, that God is involved in bringing forth the increase. But what we do know that it takes some time to bring forth a plant from a seed. And God has to do that work. The book of Acts is an unusual period of time when God was bringing forth the church, giving birth to it in a sense. And now that, remember, there were periods of time of persecution at the early beginning of the book of Acts. And after, there became a lot of persecution. There was persecution fell in between many of these periods of time when the Lord brought people to Christ. Lydia, when she came to Christ, God opened her heart. The emphasis being upon God opening her heart. The eunuch, when he came to Christ, on the road to Egypt, and on that desert road in Gaza, we find that reading the book of Isaiah, there he is compelled to ask the question, please explain to me what I am reading. And Philip is right there to give the answer. And we find that Paul is struck down on the road to Damascus, and God has to prepare him. He isn't received immediately as a brother in Christ. He kind of has to work into that favorable relationship. And he goes to Tarsus among his own people, and we don't hear too much from him. But we know God has to bring him through a whole period of preparation before he can go and unto the Gentiles. And Peter is a staunch Jew. He isn't about to eat anything unclean or touch anyone who is unclean or go to anyone who is unclean. And God has to speak to him especially that he might go unto the Gentiles. What I'm saying to you is this. By the same way, God has to work out circumstances and situations whereby he can prepare us or prepare others that work can be done. And sometimes this takes a little while. We should not be discouraged because we don't see hordes of people coming to the Lord. There were periods of time in history when that did occur, of course. But it was not without a great deal of effort on the behalf of men who were called to do that particular work. But you will notice that they were called to be evangelists, and they went out and did the work of evangelism, such as Whitfield, and even Edwards was involved in the Great Awakening, and Wesley and the Wesley brothers, as well as Finney and the other people who were involved in various awakenings, and many others besides. But they were especially prepared to do some of the work that God had them do. We do not know what God is doing as far as preparing others that many, many people may come to Christ. It seems like the Billy Graham Crusades were a great success on the surface. We do not know how many people actually came to faith in Christ under the Billy Graham Crusades. But there are many opportunities. Another point to be made is this. Many, many churches are simply this. They're simply seed sowers, seed planters, seed waterers, praying through and waiting for God to bring forth the increase. It is very important for us as churches, as a church, that we realize that it is the consistent and faithful service of the Christian that will pay off in the end. It's not the person who just says, oh, I want to go out and win a lot of people to Christ and nothing happens and so they give up. We have to be faithful. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Pastors have to stay in the ministry for long periods of time to prove themselves faithful that their work may endure. Pastors such as Pastor Irish, some 40 plus years in the ministry. Pastor Root, many, many years in the ministry serving Christ. And of course, that's just a couple in our own area, but there are numerous other pastors who have, through the longevity of their ministry, proven themselves to be faithful to God and in the preaching of the Word. And yes, many people have come to faith in Christ through their efforts. And we should remember that is how God normally does this work. That He requires us to be faithful. And Barnabas saw that the grace of God was at work. And he encouraged them and he exhorted them to cleave unto the Lord. And Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. So here is Saul, he's at Tarsus after his conversion. You might say he had to have a little rest for a period of time to kind of get his legs under him, to figure out just where the Lord wanted him to be, and prepare him for what he was to do next. And Barnabas goes to see him. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. And so for a whole year after Barnabas goes to Tarsus to get Paul, they come back to Antioch. They spend a whole year there teaching the people, teaching and ministering to the people. And as they did teach and minister to the people, we find then this name was ascribed unto those who were followers of the Lord at Antioch. That's when they first began to be called Christians. And it is believed that this name was not given to them as a compliment, but as a derision. not as something that... But you know, we should remember this, that Christians... It's only popular in the world to be called a Christian when everybody wants to be one. When it's the trendy thing to do. You know, it's like the latest style or something. People all want to be called Christians because everybody's doing it. And when not everybody wants to follow anymore, then it's not quite so popular to be called a Christian. In our society today, it's getting less popular to be called a Christian. And especially among those who want to cut off the heads of those who are called Christians, whoever they might be, whether metaphorically or physically, to cut off their heads. But we find that seems to be a trend today. Well, it's not so popular to be called a Christian. No, one must be called something else. But if we're going to be faithful to Christ, then we have to assume the name of derision as much as the early church did assume that name, did take that name on them. And it may get even worse. And in fact, there seems to be a great emphasis today that it will get much worse. Verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem and unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth. And this dearth here probably means famine, a want, a period of wantonness, when there was a great hardship and famine, lack of food, etc., throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Jerusalem. We notice that if there is not one kind of service and work for Christ, there is another. And this other kind seems to be that it is always good to do good unto others, especially to the brethren, to those who also love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that the brethren at Antioch and thereabouts seem that they should send relief unto the church at Jerusalem, unto the brethren at Jerusalem. And so the effort was made to do that. And so it is always good to give to the support of Christians and Christian missionaries and Christian workers and servants, those who love the Lord, and to the brethren. It's good to do that. Verse 30, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we find that Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, began also to go back to Jerusalem, take this money, whatever that might have been, for help unto the church, the brethren that dwelt in Judea, and to help them out. So the Christians began to take root more fully in the areas where the gospel was preached and where many came to faith in Christ. And we can assume also that as the gospel began to spread to these different quarters, whether it be in Jerusalem or Damascus or in Syria or Antioch, these areas, we find that there probably were house churches established, or at least they were meeting in the synagogues, and we find that the gospel began to spread much more, and the Christians began to be known much more fully for the work that they were doing, being followers of Christ and serving the Lord, even if it meant giving relief unto the brethren. These are good things to do, to be faithful as a servant unto the Lord. Let us bow together in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the ministry of your word. Thank you for these things that we see here in the book of Acts, that they do cause our hearts to be thankful for how that you began to spread the word through the preaching of Christ and through faithful men such as Barnabas and through Paul and through Philip and the others that were involved. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this. We know that the church would be fully established in the first century, that it might be carried on for many years into the future, and we find that the church today is still alive, it is still well, even though that many perhaps in some areas of the world have fallen away. Lord, we pray for the church, wherever it might be. We pray for the brethren, for those who love the Lord, for those who cleave unto the Lord. We pray for them and ask your grace to be with them, and pray and bless your word, Lord, that you might multiply your word. And though these seem to be uncertain times in which we live, Lord, we know that there have been other times of great uncertainty. Yet we do commend ourselves unto your care and your protection and your grace. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.